Thanks, Brian, for putting that together for us. If you did not receive an outline this morning and you'd like one, please raise your hand and Chuck will get one to you. We'd like to continue to talk about the invaluable blessing of a godly mom. So if you have your Bible, please open up to Proverbs 31. We'll look at that. That's a great text for this morning, and I hope this will be a blessing for you. And we don't always say this, Nance, but if you'd like to go down with Mike, now's the time to go, okay? The guys here were earlier looking out in the driveway, and there was, I don't know what you call those birds. They're like yay big. There's about nine of them. What are they? Turkey buzzards. I looked out once, there's like 15 of them, and I stayed in here because if they looked at me, I may never be back. So there was nine of them out there this morning, and we were thinking, you know, if Brian and Mike get a hold of them, they're going to be on the menu for next Sunday. So they decided not to do that. So anyhow, let's look at the Word of God. Thank you again for being here. Proverbs 31, follow along as I read the first nine verses. This is a rich, rich section of God's Word. Ends the book of wisdom here. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. This is a great text. It's very unique. And there are at least five reasons why I think the text is very special that we're looking at this morning. Five observations that you don't have, but just kind of come to mind. Well, we have in Proverbs 31, the first nine verses, and some think the whole chapter was from Lemuel's mom. We have a record of a son who actually listened and learned from his mom. I mean, that's unique, is not? He actually paid attention. He's giving us her words. Second thing, we have a mother here, and that's appropriate for today. We have a mother honored by her son, not mocked and scorned. Over in Proverbs 30, verse 17, says this, because this is possible. The eye that mocks a father or scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, eaten by the vultures, turkey vultures. See, it's in the Bible. This mom is honored by her son through his obedience. Third thing I want to mention, we have a mom here, and I can't bring it out in the text like it really ought to be brought out. We have a mom who is passionate, not passive at all. She's not afraid. Many times it's easy to be afraid as a parent because you don't want to say something that's going to offend the children that may never talk to you again or something like that. This mom's not afraid. She's just going for the jugular vein. She doesn't care, and you can picture her as being a little lady and King Lemuel being a big, strong man. She doesn't care. She's powerful. She's passionate. She's very, very aggressive here. And then in first nine verses, if you study these, and I know some of you have, we have here instructions for a king's true calling. This is what the king ought to be doing. In fact, to bring it up to today, anybody, president on down in government, should be paying attention to these verses and doing what they instruct for sure. And then, speaking about the future, we have a picture in Proverbs 31 of what our promised future king will be like, the coming future Messiah. He's going to rule in all righteousness. And before we look at the passage in detail a little bit this morning, I want to remind you of several points written out on your outline. I'm reading a couple new works on Proverbs. I'm always curious when a new study guide, a new commentary on Proverbs comes out, because I love the book of Proverbs. And reading a new one, I saw this quote about wisdom, and so I wrote it out for you. Here's point number one. Wisdom, I like this. That's why I'm giving it to you. Wisdom, and that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Wisdom is the exercise of power for the benefit of others. Isn't that good? That's what the king was supposed to be doing. Wisdom is the exercise of power for the benefit of others, or our power or influence is to be used for the benefit of others, not for our own self-indulgence, but to promote biblical justice. And we don't care what party you're part of. If that's your agenda for governing, we'll vote for you. We want to see you out there. We want to see you be successful. Second point on your outline, as King Lemuel is addressed by his mom, there are three ever-present consuming idols, besetting sins that are a potential danger, especially for those in high positions. And we used to say, we still say it, that money, sex, power. Money, sex, and power. Always present for those in authority. And the scripture standard has not changed one bit during the centuries. In fact, it's even more stringent today. The scripture expectation is for everybody who names the name of Jesus Christ, moral purity. Moral purity. Let me read you a passage before we jump into chapter 31 here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, great church, exemplary church. But Paul still deals with the topic of the importance of moral purity. He says this, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, we ask that you do it more and more. Keep increasing. Keep honoring the Lord. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you, what? Abstain from sexual immorality. And if you're abstaining from sexual immorality, you're going to pursue moral purity. It's not a neutral thing here. Verse 4, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passionate lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Moral purity, very, very important. Well, back to Proverbs 31. In Proverbs 31, the first 9 verses, here's another point in your notes, we get a picture of what godly mothers do, is present, what they do. Present tense, it's ongoing. Moms, your role is never done. And it may change a little bit. Kids grow up, kids leave, there's things that change in life, but your role is never done. My children, when they have a serious issue of the heart, they want to talk to their mother, and they do, and she gives them great advice. So what mothers do, your role is never done. Well, let's go through the text here. Roman number 1, we can observe from Proverbs 31, first 2 verses, godly mothers are constantly engaged. Godly mothers are constantly engaged. Verse number 1 of Proverbs 31, we see just reading it, it is a lifelong habit. This is a lifelong habit, not a one-shot deal. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Started, good Jewish boy, when he was very, very young. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. They will be a graceful garland around your head and pendants for your neck. They will protect you. Never forsake the instruction. Never forsake the instruction. And to drill it down a little harder, a little deeper, we read these verses. And I'm just going to read a couple here from Deuteronomy 6, where the parents were charged with training day in day out, never stop, no matter what opportunity comes up, speak the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6, 7, and 8, Moses says, "And these words that I command you shall be on your heart, and you shall diligently teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And it goes on and on and on. Constantly engaged. Constantly engaged. This mom, in Proverbs 31, did not allow the companions to do the instruction. She was well aware of peer pressure even back then. Social media was never smiled upon. In fact, she did not depend on the church or the school to do the job for her. Okay, she did it. If the church encouraged it and the school backed it up, that's terrific. But if not, home was where this was going to take place. And years later, from Proverbs 31, verse 1 and 2, years later, I believe King Lemuel could still hear his mother's voice. Can anyone here still hear their mother's voice? Just you? Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, I know you still do. I still hear my mother's voice. Dwayne was here a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about Bible Memory Association. My mother made me memorize scripture when I was living at home. You think I wanted to do that? No, I wanted to listen to Tijuana Brass. I don't want to memorize Bible verses. She made me do it. I remember several times where, Mom spoke directly. She spoke directly. And I still remember, you still remember what she said to you. Godly instruction. There was a time in high school when there was a band out there, and some of us are drummers, that the drummer had a particular riff he'd end one of his famous songs with. And all the drummers were trying to imitate him. I was too. And I couldn't do it. This guy was signature. I mean, he was the best of the best. And so one day, someone from the high school heard me do this and said, "Hey, would you come over to my house and play in my band?" And I said, no, it's too much. Drums are a lot to haul around. You know that, don't you? It's one thing if you play a harmonica, but if you play drums, that's a lot of stuff to put. Yeah, so this guy came over to the house, and he loaded, I didn't have a big drum set, four drums. He loaded all my drums into his car. We went over to his house, about 5 miles away, set everything up, and we played this song from this band. And at the end of the song, it had this riff, and I did the riff, the drum thing. What do you call it, Mike? What's the right word for it? A fill. Okay, I did the fill. I won't mention it because I don't want to distract you any more than I'm already distracting you. And so I did this thing. It was terrible. It was terrible. But Myron thought it was great. And he thought, "Man, you're really good." I wasn't really good. Okay, I know that. And he said to me, "I want you to join our band. I want you to join our band." So I went home, lowered everything up, took me back home. Mom asked, "How'd it go?" I said, "Well, they want me to join the band." And I was wrestling with that because it makes you feel good, doesn't it? And my mother said to me, I'll never forget her words. She just looked at me and said, "Do you really want to do that? Do you really want to do that?" I didn't, because I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. And there's a lot of other examples. Here we have in chapter 31, 1 and 2, a mother who is constantly engaged. And there's some notes on your little outline. Right away, an alarm will be sounded when needed. She just doesn't talk about the son or the children. She deals with it. And strong admonition here to show restraint in the world, even back then, of excesses. Godly moms persevere. They keep at it. And by the way, I have in my notes, a godly mother never tries to be cool, never tries to relate to their kids like she's one of them. I was concerned. I heard of some young Christian moms taking their younger daughters, dressing up and taking the younger daughters to see Taylor Swift. That's not a good idea. That is not a good idea. Hold your standards. Hold your standards. The kids aren't going to appreciate the standards until they get older. Don't stop. Don't stop. Boy, we're so thankful. I have a daughter-in-law down south. Oh, I have two down south. The one just for a special activity took up one of the daughters to the Ark for a ladies' conference. That's the way to go. Forget the other thing. Go to the Ark. Go to something godly. Verse 2. Here's an intense alarm if you're taking notes. Here's an intense alarm. Three questions saying the same thing. Let me read it to you again. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? What is she saying here? Listen up. Pay attention. Take heed to what I'm going to say. The vow is sort of like Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:11. She's not going to let this mother here in Proverbs 31 will not let this go. She's going to give a strong warning. She's going to give a strong warning. She's going to give correction. And she's going to give encouragement. And you know what it is because we read it already and you have too. Roman numeral 2, here's three powerful and specific cautions in verses 3 through 9. This mom is living in the real world. She knows what it's like. She is not naive. She knows what her children are going to be dealing with. She knows the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. She knows. She knows. And she's not going to stop warning. She's not going to stop warning. Three cautions ever need today. Let me give them to you. Number one, she talks about forbidden gratification. Forbidden gratification. Taking the fire outside the fireplace, very, very dangerous. Verse 3, do not give your strength to women. Do not give your ways to those who destroy kings. We've heard a lot of that kind of wisdom from Solomon himself, who did not necessarily follow his own instruction. But listen to what Solomon has to say about forbidden gratification. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to read several verses here. I think they'll be on the screen, but you may want to jot these down because you may want to use these in someone's life. I read them for myself. You may want to share these with somebody because Proverbs again and again and again warns the reader about forbidden gratification, sexual immorality. Chapter 2, beginning with verse, 16, says, when you follow wisdom, when you listen to your parents' godly instruction, the author here says, you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And when you see in Proverbs is a book of poetry, when you see the adulterous, forbidden women, all that kind of stuff, it's really talking about immorality in every kind of aspect of it. Every kind of aspect of it. Verse number 17. This woman forsakes the companion of her youth, that's her husband. She forgets the covenant of her God. She forgets her marriage. For her house sinks down to death, and her past to the departed. And you have to tell people this again and again and again. You may think it looks good. You may think it feels good. But guess where it ends up in? Death. Death. And worse than that for some here. It says here, 19. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Chapter 5 of Proverbs. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. That doesn't sound too good today. What do you want honey on your lips for? Back in those days, that is extremely attractive and rich. Looks good. Looks good. And her speech is smoother than oil. And again, in our culture, that doesn't do a whole lot for us. That was a very attractive thing back then. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, that's the place of the dead. She does not ponder the path of her feet. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. Chapter 6, it just gets more intense. Chapter 6, verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproof of disciplines are the way of life. Here it is, verse 24. To preserve you from the evil woman, that's immorality in every form, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress, Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyes. And then I want to end up here in chapter 7 of Proverbs. The whole chapter. I won't read the whole chapter to you, but the whole chapter is descriptive to what it does to someone. Unchecked immorality. Unchecked immorality. I want to just read the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24. Worth your time to read through this. Very, very descriptive, and you'll know people who need to read this. Solomon says, "And now, O son, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low. All her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." That's serious. That's serious. Solomon's sin destroyed his kingdom. David's obsession with Bathsheba led to flagrant violations of justice and irreparable consequences. We talk about grace. We talk about mercy. We talk about forgiveness, and they are all true, and they're wonderful. Use Brian's word for this morning. But there's certain things you can do will cause irreparable damage. There's spiritual restoration, but in some senses, there's no coming back. There's no coming back. Proverbs 31. And King Lemuel's mom is warning him about this. I'm very upset here. Several weeks ago, I got a letter from a younger pastor friend of mine who is incredibly gifted. Incredibly gifted. Know him for years. Watched his ministry. Spent time with him. Text back and forth almost every week. And he made a decision that he just shot himself, violating these principles. And that's hard. Many, many are suffering this morning. Church, he was pastoring because of willful, sinful decision. Irreparable consequences. Godly moms are concerned about moral purity. You pray for the protection of your children, and hopefully you speak well of your daughter-in-laws if you have sons, son-in-laws if you have daughters. Because position and power are not designed for self-satisfaction of one's desires. You are responsible for the benefit of others. There's a second caution here. Boy, we could talk a lot about the first. There's a warning, and this is not popular at all in our culture, about abstinence or intemperance. I kept changing the word here, and you know, Google didn't like the words I was calling. I'm probably driving Tim crazy. Verse 4, here's a warning about abstinence. And she's crystal clear here. In an age when wine was a blessing, it was a sign of joy, the regular person wasn't forbidden from, you know, not getting drunk, but just using all what God created. But she says, very strong, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine. Notice she used the word not twice. This is intense. In other words, listen to what I'm saying. Underline it. Pay attention. It is not for them to drink wine or strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and they forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. We won't talk about the overindulging with alcohol in Washington, D.C. It's just disturbing sometimes. She prescribes abstinence. This is total abstinence. She doesn't just say, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. She says, what does she say? Don't touch the stuff. Don't touch the stuff. It's not going to do you any good. Not at all. Listen to what the Word of God says. And there's a lot here. Let me walk you through just a couple of Proverbs here. And this is, like I said, this is not a popular message for today. Proverbs, let me go to Proverbs 20, verse 1. Solomon talks about this several times. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And if you're not wise, what are you? Foolish, okay? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not be rich. And in Proverbs 23, I think this is the Super Bowl section on this whole issue. Proverbs 23, 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go down to try mixed wine, mixed drinks. And the warning here is, it may look attractive, but the warning is, do not look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent, stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. What does the mother say here in 31? She says, intoxication impairs cognitive facilities necessary for filling the king's moral responsibility. It erases the memory of what he has decreed. If King Lemuel's mom was writing today, she would include recreational what? Marijuana and vaping and a few other things. I have a friend, young friend. He is the president, CEO of America's Keswick, dealing with addiction, besetting sins. And he goes out to preach in churches about the ministry. And we just had a big reunion down there of a lot of families who have come through the program over the years, just getting together to celebrate. And he was telling me the other day, he said, you know, I went to one church. Church was a very reformed church, very serious about the Word of God, very serious about doctrinal purity and you know, the whole thing. And when he started talking about abstaining from recreational use of marijuana, he could see the agitation with the people because Christians enjoy fooling around with recreational marijuana. Lemuel's mom would say, don't touch the stuff. And you would not believe what's going on in people's lives today. Keswick sees you see the mess. You see the families broken. You see men destroyed. Recreational things like this. And I just learned another one. I didn't even put this in my notes. Sports betting is popular all of a sudden. You see that out there? I thought it was strange. I was telling Sue about this the other night. I thought it was strange. It's years ago now because he's been dead years now. Rush Limbaugh, in his program, would promote sports betting. Conservative radio. It's not the liberals. And today, I could give you the examples of who's there on conserve talk radio promoting sports betting, online betting. It leads to gambling addiction. It is devastating. Lemuel's mom will list the same thing. If you're involved in sports betting, stop today. Stop today. You're going to win a couple dollars. They give you money to start out. Don't they do that? They say, here's X amount of dollars. We'll help you start out. These are conservative talk gurus that everybody listens to. You think they're your friends. They're not your friends. They're getting paid for this. And it is devastating. It is devastating. Vaping is dangerous. It's dangerous. Stop that stuff, Lemuel's mom would say. One passage to show you where this can lead. And I won't spend a lot of time here because I don't have a lot of time. Mark chapter 6 is a fascinating story. Mark chapter 6 is a fascinating story with the beheading of John the Baptist. That's a nasty story. I don't like it. Here's one of the greatest men Jesus had ever born of woman. And what a way to end your life. Having your head cut off in a drunken banquet just to make some sinful lady very, very happy. Just a terrible story. A couple verses here. And if you read between the lines, this is a party going on, you can bet they were intoxicated. Because sober people don't do this. Sober people don't do this. Mark chapter 6, picking up in verse 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet. And the alcohol's flowing at those things. For his nobles, military commands, leading men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod. And Mark's not telling us all the details that we don't need to know there. We just don't need to know. And the king said to the girl, "Ask for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." Why didn't she ask for a new car or a house or just retirement money or something like that? I would have. She runs to her mother, modern-day Jezebel. She runs to her mother, and it says in verse 24, she said, "Mother, what shall I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Can you imagine being at a birthday celebration like this? And she came in immediately with haste, and the king asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." I think the king got sober real quick, but it was too late. It was too late. You know the story. The exercise of power is not for personal satisfaction. The moral authority of Lemuel's kingly office comes with moral responsibilities. And nothing, let me underscore this again, nothing good happens when people drink alcohol. Nothing good happens. Nothing good happens. Verse 6 and 7, I'll read that in a moment. But every now and then, I'm in the hospital visiting somebody. I went to see Nancy yesterday, but that's a beautiful hospital over there, the new hospital. I went to see Nancy, and Nancy had gone home, which was great. But every now and then, I'll be sitting with somebody, and a nurse or a doctor comes in, and they'll look at me and say, "You can stay here, you can stay here." And they'll start asking a lot of questions. And one of the questions they will ask when they're doing a write-up is, you know, their use of alcohol. And they want to know often, when's the last time you had a drink of alcohol? And I was with Dave Clancy years ago, and Dave was dying of brain cancer. And the authorities came in and said, when are you a smoker? No. When's the last time you had a cigarette? It was like decades and decades ago when I was in Vietnam, and everyone was drinking and smoking. And I said to the doctor at the time, I said, "Does it really matter what you do decades ago?" And they said, "You better believe it. You better believe it." That was something. You'd think you'd be cleaned out by then. No. Verse 6 and 7 of Proverbs 31 here. It's sarcastic. This is Hebrew sarcasm. It's not saying, you know, just give out. Well, I'll read it to you. Okay, Proverbs 31, verse 6, where King Lemuel's mom says, give strong drink to the one who is perishing, wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty. Remember their misery no more. Open your mouth. Okay? What she's really saying is drinking to drown distress solves nothing. It solves nothing. Intoxicants are useless. Those in leadership must at times limit their freedoms. Paul did. You do. And Lemuel's mom told him to do so as well. One more caution, and it's really more biblical advice. Number 3, third bullet point, use your position to pursue sacrificial service. Use your position to pursue sacrificial service. Verse 8 and 9, open your mouth for the mute. The mute are those without a voice to defend themselves in court. They don't have a voice, a legal voice. Open your mouth, verse 9, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Remember, we said on your notes, wisdom is the exercise of power for the benefit of others. She's saying, do that. Don't be like the unjust judge in Luke 18. Serve others. And later on, James would say this. James would say in James chapter 1, verse 27, James would say, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Take care of those orphans and widows, those without a voice. Well, if I can go bottom line here, King Lemuel's mom says to him, reading between the lines a little bit, you know, and some people need to hear this. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. There's a verse here, you know it well, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, in that great love chapter. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, when I grew up, I gave up childish ways. The mother here in 31 telling her son, act like a man. Act like a man. Pursue moral purity. Stay away from harmful substances. Self-sacrifice for others. You know, Tim read some other verses in Proverbs 31. I want to jump down to Proverbs 31, continuing the thought here in verse 26, where it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands, let her works praise her in the gates. I wanted to read verse 30. I skipped over that. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Mom, you have a king in your life who needs you and always will. And if you don't have your own son, daughter in your life, you have someone else in your life who needs you and needs you to step in and be that person. Romans 3 on your notes, the wise alternatives. And just three things real quick. We want to see our leaders, our formal leaders practice three things here from 31. We want to see them practice moral purity. Moral purity. We want to see them be sober, have sober and self-controlled thinking. Think straight. And we want to see them all involved in sacrificial service. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as rightful ruler of the universe in a visible form, you're going to see these three things put into operation in full orbit like never before. Messiah Jesus will fill this. You know, many of our moms led us to trust the Savior. You're going to celebrate child evangelism this week. I got a quick story for you. I thought this was really cool. I was with one of our guys at Keswick the other day, and hopefully he'll come here someday and preach and tell you. I'll ask him to tell you the story when he comes here. But Frank's involved with Torchbearers, and I don't remember what country he was in at the time. He's global. I'll text him sometime, and he'll say, I could call you, but I'm in Kenya right now. I'll call you later. He's all over the place. And he said, years ago, he was a camp counselor at one of these Torchbearer camps, and he had a bunch of, you know, young teens, and he had this 12-year-old, and I don't remember if he said a lot of good things or bad things about this 12-year-old. This is Frank counseling a 12-year-old. You know what the 12-year-old's name was? What's his name? Keith Getty. You know the name Keith Getty? Keith Getty right now is one of the prime hymn writers, worship leaders in the world. And Frank said, you know, he looked at us and he said, never give up on these kids. And he said, the ones that are that the most disbehave when they're little are probably going to be the most effective. Isn't that true? The ones that are good when they're little are probably going to be good. Don't say anything. And when they grow up, they're going to probably don't do anything. But he said, be patient with the kids. Be patient with the kids. That's why I always tell Mike, great to hear you guys downstairs, right? That's a joyful noise. We're thankful for our moms. Many of them led us to Christ and just discipled us and just kept us in the path doing the right thing. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Mom, never forget your role. You're loved. You're appreciated. And if you're a little older, I encourage you to be encouraging the younger moms. It is a different day. It is a different day. There's challenges we have never dreamed of when we were raising our children. And some of you are raising your children. There's challenges to navigate through, even in the church community that we never saw coming. So be an encouragement, and don't give up. Don't give up. We bless you. We bless God for you and what you're doing. Father, thank you for biblical wisdom. It's tough at times. We like to take the easy way out so many times. Thank you for our moms Thank you for our wives who are godly moms. Thank you for the legacy. Lord, we miss our moms today who are with you. But Father, you've been gracious to us. May we do what's right and be honorable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.